lights out. We're underway. Motorsport Republic podcast.
Tom Shavulak, we are back, bro. We are back.
Yes, big ep tonight. We're going to be covering testing MotoGP and Vegas, baby, Formula One.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's a big, big night in the Motorsport Republic realm.
Yep, we got we're also talking top five MotoGP rivalries.
Bring it
as
back.
Well. Bringing it back, you know. Okay. And I can't believe we actually haven't spoken about this one. So stay tuned for that. It is going to be a fun one to dissect, actually. It's going to be really fun. There's a common theme in most of these. And
Italians.
It disgusts me. You said the words testing, and I just want to quickly refer to the Ashes for our English listeners.
Yes, yes. That was testing times for the English fans. All 30,000 of those Poms come out here and just get headed.
Yeah,
beheaded.
Beheaded. Some good head for us, that's for sure.
It was the most amazing night for us, but day of cricket I've seen, I think, probably since Ben Stokes did it to us in Headingley, you know, back in 2019 or whatever it was. So, amazing. Amazing fourth innings, ton for Travis Head.
Yep. So, for all our American, non-Australian listeners, not Poms, we're talking cricket.
Yeah.
It swept the nation
it's
this
It's like
series.
The, being the bottom of the ninth, then you get a home run or something. I don't know what the thing is.
Bases loaded.
Bases loaded, and you hit a home run.
Jason, talk to us about... You know what? We've been to a Yankees-Red Sox game as well. We didn't know what was going on.
No, we didn't. No, I definitely didn't.
Quickly on the Ashes, I'm linking it back to MotoGP. When Travis Head came out, I started watching it, and then I went into Pino's. Pino's, Phillip Islands, MotoGP, mega Italian restaurant we all know. You know, doing MotoGP stuff, eating Italian food, and come out, and then he's already scored 100. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it was crazy.
Unbelievable.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah, massive. Massive episodes. Want to give a shout out to motoheaven.com.au. Tom Shavulak. Black Friday is coming up. They're already doing massive deals. They've actually got a really cool promo that we have put on our story as well, which is their Ixon suit promo. So you buy one of their participating one-piece suits for all our track day road riders out there, and you get a free Ixon airbag vest as well, T-shavs.
Wow.
Like a MotoGP rider.
Wow, that's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, so give Moto Heaven some love at motoheaven.com.au. Suss out
what's
there,
that vest like, valued at, James?
The vest is valued at $700. And then, and not only that, the suits are also 10% off.
Oh,
so it's actually a deal and a half. So don't worry about all these other shitty other retailers.
Don't tell me it's free shipping as well.
It's free shipping. And I'll even include myself when on the deal. It's free shipping. Don't worry about any of these retailers. Motoheaven.com.au. They got Black Friday. They got 10% off showy helmets. They've got all these other deals. They're just, you can't miss it. So if you're a road rider, dirt rider, whatever it is, but for that Ixon one, if you're doing track days, road rides, it's very, 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 very appealing.
Yeah, I want to have a shout out to Sam Moore from Fist, who sent us a merch pack last week as well.
Yep.
With all Jack Miller's Phillip Island and some other cool stuff. So I really appreciate that. Been rocking it all weekend, really. Even the flannelette shirt, James.
Yeah, and the flannel.
Got the flannel shirt going. Jeez.
Dry times. I was in Phillip Island at the beach using my dry times towels. Very nice.
I was loving the flannel. I never wore one in my life. And geez, even the missus got bloody a bit rowdy. That was awesome.
Oh,
so,
surely not.
Yeah, loved it. Loved it. So that might be my new thing now, flannelette shirts.
When you see Jack Miller, you'll be like, thanks, mate. Throw
a
leg over.
a little wink to him. He'll know what I mean.
Oh, that's hilarious. Now, Tom, we need to talk as well. Who is our next number one ticket holder? We're getting into that season. It's almost December. We're going to be doing our Christmas show.
Yes, there's a couple that pop into mind. You've still got time. It's going to be a much anticipated end of year. We announced that on our Christmas special,
Christmas
James,
special,
from
Christmas
memory.
Special, yep.
Shout out galore. So, guys, we love each and every one of you. It's called Papa Can't Win It Twice. So, there's going to be a new winner every year.
Yeah.
And you will win we haven't decided but yet, but probably some sort of merch pack.
Yeah,
us,
we'll be giving you something fun. And so, the way to win it is basically you have to be a consistent commenter. Put in your hot takes, like our stuff. We do see it. We have names that we already kind of have a bit of an idea. But, you know, this is people from Australia, England, the United States.
And we can be bribed.
Can be bribed, so whatever you want to do, you just let us know.
No, love it. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate all the support.
Yeah, if you want to give us a $3,000 tip on Patreon, perfect. You'll be instantly winning.
Ding.
But we also really appreciate all the love, and we love our number one ticket holder. prize. It's fun. Yeah, it's good.
It's really good.
It's good to shout out to all our listeners. It's really cool.
So talk to me about testing MotoGP Valencia, James.
Well, bro, it was a bit of a pre-cum at the start, seriously, because there was nothing going on.
Frustrating for us. So I was sitting there listening to that poor Matt Burt and Lewis just talking absolute smack for 3 hours.
Don't we ever talk? Actually, you said this to me before testing. You're like, man, an 8-hour test is hard. It's, yeah, you know, there's a lot going on, but there's also not a lot going on. They've got, you know, people that come in and like Lucio Ceccanello, Danny Pedrosa or whatever in the commentary box. But bro, when there was literally nothing going on and they were waiting for the track to dry and they were commenting on the marshals, they were talking about the marshals drying the track, and even they you could hear them feel the pressure, like this is hard, like this is,
oh yeah,
and I don't know how they did it.
They make a bit of a joke of it, but you got to understand how tough that would be. I mean, we sit here for an hour and talk smack, and we've got things to talk about and the race to talk about, but they've already done all that.
I know,
like it's,
and it's the end of the season.
It's done. All they want to do is get home. And it was funny because they said to Matt Bird, they're like, the session's been halted. He was like, oh no, I got a plane to catch. And it was just, they got rid of, I think it was a lunch. They pulled lunch back, or practice start.
Yeah, practice start. But he's like, he was almost saying like, no, I'm not staying. Like, I'm catching my plane. Like, you can keep the sessions at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
I'm catching my plane. I don't give a fuck.
They finally get to go back to their family. And, super amazing job by them. We're trying to catch up with Jack Appleyard. We found out in the test he's going to be in Australia for the Ashes. So, shooting him a message. Hopefully, he's listening. We'll hook up over the summer at some stage. So
yeah, I hope so. But it's I love MotoGP testing. Put it up on our stories. It's like a MotoGP fanatic's wet dream.
It is. Unfortunately, I sat there for 3 hours until midnight when nothing happened.
Yeah.
And then I thought the next night I had something on. I did not see a lap. Unfortunately, I did not see the boys go around. I saw replay and highlights and everything. But yeah, it was super frustrating for us and Oz because we're sit down at 7 o'clock and you sort of wait till midnight and something's still not happening. And then they got red flag and they try to dry the track. Sure, there's got to be a better solution. Sure, they could chuck a few supercars out there or like a tractor with a big mop on the back of it or something just to get it going.
They need something. But just for the one-off chance of a Valencia rain for testing, that's the solution.
Yeah, I knew it was we're in strife when I flicked it on at the start. They're all still in their jeans and tops. Yeah, we're going to be for a while.
It's normally a slow start because Valencia at that time of year is already cold. Like Europe's going into like winter. So, but I still loved it because I still loved listening to it. I was appreciating the commentary and like time filling, filibustering, I think they call that almost.
Can you repeat that?
Filibustering. It's when you're in court and you can't stop. You can't like almost like not finish a sentence, so you have to keep talking. It's like a rule in court. It's called filibustering. You get like 3 goes at it.
Fuck are you talking
autistic,
about?
Autistic, bro.
Filibustering. And I have to admit, I sat there for 4 hours. And then what happened was I just went magic. Like, I think I fell asleep. And I was watching the awards night at one point. And that was actually kind of cool. And that sparked me into messaging you and going, bro, you know what we're doing? We are going next year because we're going to go see the Valencia race. We're going to go to that awards night, sneak our way in, and then we'll stay there for the 27 bikes tested.
27 bikes is huge.
So that sort of sparked my interest because I thought that awards night's really cool. It just, I mean, I never really sat there and watched it before, and it was cool to see.
Now I haven't watched anything with the awards night, but I have watched it in past years. Now, in past years, there was two hosts. So there was a like English host and a Spanish host. So they still have that.
Yeah. So Jack Appleyard was one of the hosts, and then they had the quite an attractive Spanish. Okay. I'm gonna say probably paying $1.01. It's gonna be a Spanish lady. Yeah. And she was, there was all fully in English though. There was no Spanish speaking.
Oh, because when I watched it, like just say Jack Appleyard would say, you know, presenting the best race of 2023. And then she would say in Spanish.
From my recollection, no, it was all in English.
Okay. Gotcha.
The funniest part of that awards night was, she was talking to Rueda came on stage to accept the reward. And then he was like, yeah, congratulations. And then she was like, oh, hang on a second. We just want to give our condolences or something to Noah, to Will at home. And Rueda was like, and then just turns away, like walks back.
It
was
The production of MotoGP still.
Yeah, and
fucking,
it was like, for me, I'm like, that's the last thing he really, and like, obviously he's, you know, he was mostly at fault in that accident, I would say. There might be some different opinions out there, but yeah, to hear that when you're accepting your world championship trophy, it's like time and place.
You wouldn't say it then, no. No, you definitely wouldn't say it.
You let him say it. If he doesn't say it, you leave it, pretty much, I would say.
Yeah, or you just put it in a different time of the show, or the awards night. Like,
yep.
That's awkward. She must have had something in the earpiece. Like, you've got to say this
100%.
Now.
She was reading it off her notes.
Fuck. That's fucked up. Bro, Toprak Razgatlioglu, everyone was watching him. And look, he is impressive. He was very impressive for the conditions. Now, he's ridden that Yamaha M1 before in the Aragon tests. Now, what was he, Tom? You got times there, 1.3 seconds off the pace, something like that, by the end of the day, roughly.
Yeah, he was 18th. He was ahead of Rins and Miller.
Yeah.
And considerably ahead of, say, Marrera and Vietti.
Now, Toprak can't actually give interviews because of his BMW contract, but from what I'm reading and from the reports that are coming in, you know, you can read between the lines, is that we've all spoken about the gap between Pirelli and Michelin, and that's going to be the hardest thing, is going hard into those corners that Toprak's very good at. And he seems like it's that he's actually adapting it a lot better than what he thought and what other people were thinking.
So
are
they saying that you can push the Pirellis harder in corners?
Much harder, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so like anyone that goes onto the Michelins is just, they hate it.
Because you think it'd be the other way around, don't you? Being the production, you know, more production bikes than sort of prototypes, but... I suppose you're going so much faster into a corner as well. You've got to make that adjustment.
I guess so, yeah. And like, you know, the braking's different, obviously. Mm. But so that's really promising for Toprak. Now, you know, what does that mean in the future? Look, who knows? But he didn't look stiff. He was riding outside the bike. He wasn't like, compared to Celestino Vietti and Diego Marrera, where they're rolling around, but it's the first time on the bike, they're stiff. Like, they're not hanging off the bike where Toprak is. That's the main differences there. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, in the Sepang test now, it's six days in a row of testing that they have.
Mm.
So that's when they're really going to, that's where they're going to find their strides.
For me, he's got such a different background to a lot of riders, obviously, with that stunt riding background.
Mm.
I think jumping onto new machinery like this, I think that'd have to help him immensely.
Yeah, I agree.
Just to get that feeling, and he's already doing a stoppie in the pit lane, and just to have that confidence on two wheels. I mean, it's amazing that he was faster than Rins and Miller. I'm not going to read too much into it with testing. And interesting with Rins, he did his fastest lap on his fourth lap and then didn't do much else.
Do you know why? Because Quartararo, I think, was something similar. They were on the inline four.
Oh, okay.
They went out on the inline four.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Went up to the V4. Interesting.
Yeah. So that was... and then the whole day was basically just chasing the tail, trying to get a lap in on the V4 and find a base setting or a setting for it, which is going to be a long road ahead. So that's the main thing.
No, it's encouraging for Toprak. I mean, to be there or thereabouts. I mean, if it was like Vietti 3 seconds off the pace, then you'd be sort of still not even alarm bells, but you'd sort of question a little bit. But he's gonna be there or thereabouts. Imagine him second half of the season, James. He's gonna be up there with Quartararo, I reckon.
Nah, I still don't see it. Like, yes, like, well, we're singing his praises, and I think he's had a really good test, but it's the Yamaha, man. I just don't trust Yamaha.
Second half of next year, what's gonna happen is Quartararo is gonna be that fed up with Yamaha. He's going to be given up. I'm telling you, he will have a shocker next year on that V4.
Mm.
We're going backwards on a bike that was already the worst on the grid.
Mm.
It's unbelievable.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, do you think he will definitely do that? Like, do you think he'll still be? I hate to say not trying. I'm sure they're always trying, obviously. But unless you're Maverick Vinales that wants to blow up a Yamaha, but like, just say he signs for Aprilia, 5 races in. Because Quartararo is very harsh. He says it's too early to say, but if this bike isn't up to scratch, which is a lot of pressure, and it's not going to be. So it's almost guaranteed he's going, because that Yamaha is not going to be up to scratch.
No, it's not
going to
be up to scratch.
You can't turn it around like that. Like, look at Honda. Look at what Honda's doing. Like, they're not there yet, but they've got the resource, so much of a bigger resources and so much more budget that they throw into it. He's saying that the bike has to be up to scratch for him to re-sign. It's not going to be. Mm. So he's going somewhere else. Like, just thinking about it logically, really.
Yeah, I have to agree. And the only real logical spot is going to be Aprilia.
Yeah, which he's going to take Jorge Martin's seat.
Mm.
It's just what's going to happen. So, That's a bit of a weave off Top Rack, but like that's another massive talking point going into next year, Tom. Really, it really is. Like Top Rack's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to make the most of that opportunity. And he's going to be on, you know, the real test is this year. But then going into the new regs and Top Rack, Razgo, Yoglu, then going onto the Pirelli tyres on an 850cc bike is where we're going to see everything, where we're going to see it shine. Like, I think next year is still going to be much of the same to a degree with Marquez, Alex Marquez. I've got some notes on Ducati as well, but I think that's where we're going to be.
Jimmy, we always talk about the OG fans on this podcast, but what about the OG sponsors? Mate,
the OG sponsor, motoheaven.com.au, T-Shabs. They've been with us from the start, the absolute start. How good's that?
They're amazing. Amazing organization.
They are the best. All orders go in the draw to win $250 gift card every month, T-Shabs. So you can spend anything at motoheaven.com.au and you automatically go in the draw to win a $250 gift card every single month.
Amazing. There's no excuses there.
Nope, it's Australia's largest range online, and we challenge the fans to use the website. The usability of the website is the absolute best. Even you and I can find the tools or the helmets or whatever we need for our motorcycle.
Guys, they have the best parts finder in the business, and it's also free shipping over
$150.
Awesome.
Head to motoheaven.com.au. They are the OG sponsors for our OG fans. Now, I want to talk to you real quick. Sorry. Celestino Vietti, what do you think with him getting the ride? Do you like that?
Well, I mean, the problem is they really didn't have a lot of choice, did they? Because after big boy Morbidelli breaks his wrist, I mean, who do they go to? They have to pick someone in the VR46 Academy who was at that track at the time. I mean, it would have been hard to sort of bring someone in that quickly. So they I think it's probably their only choice. I mean, who else would you have picked? Like, who knows, buddy? Bulliger was already there. Mate, Pirro. I believe that Pirro is retired.
I think you might
so
be
I,
right.
So I tried to sort of hint that to you the other day, and I was like questioning myself on the pod because I knew Bulliger was going to be at that test. I think Pirro has retired, but I'll stand corrected. Anyone in the comments, we love that.
He has ridden the VR46 bike.
But you know, who knows? I mean, the injury happened Sunday at 2 p.m. And you got to be there on Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Who you have to choose someone from the Moto2 paddock to ride the bike. So realistically, that's would have been their only choice.
And I guess it's just more of a thank you, if anything.
A thank you, or because you're Italian and, you know.
In the VR46 Academy, which is cool. Like, I get it. I definitely get it. It's just funny. Like,
is there anyone else you thought it could have been on that bike?
Lorenzo Baldessari.
One of the bees.
Nah.
Can on chew.
Can on chew. Nah, look, you know, if it has to be someone in the academy, it's going to be Celestino Vietti. But, you know, like they've got no one really coming through the ranks. So, like, that's another interesting thing, Tom, and we've spoken about it, is who is going to replace Morbidelli when the time comes, or Digia?
Don't know. Tony Arbolino, just...
They're not up to it.
No. No, he's not up to it. And I mean, Vietti... It's quite shocking that he was... I mean, is it shocking or not? 3 seconds off the pace.
Nah, he's well off it, bro. Look, Diego Moreira is 1.8. He's second last.
And yeah, Moreira and Vietti are in exactly the same position.
Correct.
So it tells you everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it tells you everything. I mean, Toprak already had a test before this.
Yeah.
So he already had a private test. I don't think it was a Valencia, maybe Aragon, I think it was.
A bit older as well, ridden superbikes.
Yeah. Has the he's a world champion on a superbike as well. And it was, as we touched on earlier, he's obviously got that stunt rider background. I think it would help him immensely, especially in like wet conditions and stuff and low grip tracks and stuff. I just think having that bike control is just, it's such a skill to have.
I think as well, being taller, you can shift your body weight around a bike really well. But, you know, and you can move bikes in different positions where if you're shorter and lighter, you can't, but then you've got better power to weight ratio. So it's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
But Vietti, for example, like the guy's not going to make it. You know, he's not, he hasn't got it. You know,
I don't think
if you haven't got it now in Moto2, you haven't got it.
I don't think he's going to be MotoGP right
now. Tony Arbolino, he's had that many chances, he's not going to have it. The only fucking exception for this is like Raul Fernandez for me this year. Like, I know I don't want to start going back to this year, but. Dude, we had him so written off last year. Like, we had him, why is he signed? Why is he in the... And then he comes in, wins a race, and he tops testing. I mean, obviously at his favorite track, as we found out, but sore shoulder. geez, it's exciting for him next year as well. Like, super excited for him on the right bike at the right time, you know?
Yeah, and let's just hope Aprilia keep that momentum. So they've still got, they're in concession C for this year in Aprilia, which is the same as like what Honda's moving into now.
Yeah, yeah. So C, everyone's in C except Ducati and
Yamaha's in D.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Yeah, so you're right. So yeah. Yeah, if you're KTM, if you're Aprilia, you know, if you're
now Honda,
they're all at the same test time.
So Aprilia going to them. Look, honestly, the whole test was from the outside, and what obviously we weren't there, but from reading articles and you know, just trying to dissect it all, it was all aero. A lot of it's just aero based.
Yeah.
You know, Aprilia had some new fair. Obviously, they had some new fairings, and they had like the white and black zebra, you know, colors to try and throw off, you know, what car manufacturers do.
Yeah, yeah, they camouflage them.
Try and camouflage it to see, you know, obviously what they can do. So, a lot of it was basically aero testing, and then with that, Aprilia was copying a lot of KTM. So their new fairing, that I think they rolled out quite a few fairings, but looked very much KTM like. Bit of a KTM Ducati. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do. Like this Valencia test, and you spoke about it, I think, last week, Tom, is it's not like the best test track.
Not the best test track, and I think we can't read into it too much because it's just such a circuit that is, it's so unique on the calendar. So I think, like, looking at riders' times, I think if you compare yourself to Marrero like we did to Vietti, go remember Vietti's mindset wouldn't have been to test a MotoGP bike within 30 hours of finding out. So that's got to come into it as well.
I believe Vietti was only allowed 13 laps and he did 25 and he ignored the board. Yeah, because they had the VR46 guy in commentary.
Yeah.
And he's like, 13 laps, that's the amount you're doing. And he just said he didn't see the board and did like 20 or 25. Might have been 20 laps, which is very funny.
Good
but it, the guy laughed. He's like, it's typical, like typical rider that does that. So they were kind of half expecting it. But yeah, Aprilia was copying a lot, or seems to be copying a lot of the KTM aero, which is quite interesting because it doesn't look like KTM's the team to copy, but they've obviously got something there that people want.
They seem to introduce new things quite a lot though. Like there are some different things on the KTM over the years that you've noticed, like the big wing on the back. I think KTM were the first to do that. So
scoop, underscoop as well.
Yeah. So I think for me, the big change for Aprilia's pace issue has to be aero, because realistically, there's not a lot that have changed on the bike, you know?
Not that we know or we can see.
So for me, they've just, and it's probably not adding this, adding that, it's just making it all work together right.
They've had some like little side winglets on the rear tail of the bike they've put in as well. Like small things obviously just make a massive difference.
Yeah, it's like and balance between the front and the rear. And I mean, there is so much into it. So much that goes into it.
Oh, bro, it's ridiculous. Ducati next year. Now, everyone was talking about how Ducati is a bit of a, you know, Valencia is not the test for them, where they don't have much to test, you know, because of their concessions or what they can do. They've got a new side pod, side fairing for Bagnaia. Now, the talk of the paddock and what a lot of the journos and everyone's talking about is they reckon it's going to go back to a GP24. They're just rebranding it. Ducati don't even call it a GP26. This is what the media say.
Well, we've been talking about that for a while, though.
Yeah, yeah. Mostly you, if anything. I was always been against it. I always thought I'd keep developing. But I guess going into the last year of these regulations, it's just going to be a rebranded GP24. Maybe they might do a few little, you know, whatever they'll want to do, but it's going to be a GP24. And it almost reflects some of Bagnaia's times does reflect that, because he was much more on pace than what he was during the race weekends. So
yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of disappointing, I think, going back to a bike that's 2 years old. It doesn't show you the progression of the team and all that. I'm sure internally they're disappointed, but it's obviously these regulations with engine freezing and stuff. It's just forced their hand.
Correct, exactly what it is. Like if you roll in the Sepang with the wrong setup in like a concessions A, you're fucked.
Yeah.
That's what you got to live with. And that's what that GP25 was, where you can't just, you know, test multiple bikes almost, really. You really can't. Like, and that was lucky they had Marc Marquez who could ride around the problems.
But you know what? You know the big winner in all this is what Dorna and FIM and FIM and all the team around that have brought concessions in and have brought engine freeze in, because next year it will never be as close again. You know, next year will be so close. I know Marquez is going to, we on paper, it looks like he's going to dominate. And yes, he probably will. But the rest of them are going to be so, so close.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't think of this when Bagnaia and Martin were out in front winning every race, you know, in 2024. We didn't think it would be come back this close so soon. You know, I thought to myself, we're going to wait till 27 for these rules to change. Ducati Cup, you know, Ducati Cup. We're talking about it on the pod every week. Ducati Cup this, Ducati Cup that. You know, now we've got Aprilia with a real chance next year to take it to Ducati, which never in the wildest dreams I thought that would happen before the new regulation. So kudos to Dorna and the FIM and whoever makes the rules, because we always get confused. But they've done an amazing job, and the sport is sports in a great spot. It really is.
Yeah, it's exciting. Like those concession rules have just been perfect for the sport, and like how it's all laid out seems to be amazing. You know, maybe not amazing if you're a mechanic in concessions D and you constantly be flying everywhere. Yamaha still have like another Yamaha or Honda. Maybe it's Honda still have another. Maybe it's Yamaha. Might be. It's one or the other. Has another 3 tests for the rest of the year. It's Honda. Honda are testing another 3 times for the rest of this year.
Wow, it's a lot of testing. Because interesting, it's on tyres.
Yeah.
It's about the amount of tyres they get is how much they can test. So if they've got some tyres in the back in the kitty, they can go. They can go and do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll change for them next year. I still don't understand why they didn't just bloody sandbag that last quarter and let someone pass, but... Yeah, it'll be one of life's mysteries.
No,
like Timo Glock did to Lewis Hamilton in 2008 for the championship last corner Brazil.
It's I get the mentality of it, I guess, but I know what you're saying. Like,
but it's
funny.
It's the difference is astounding. Like, it's, you know, it's 60 less tires. It's you only can test 3 times. The your riders can't test. Has to be only 10. Like, it's a massive difference. We went over it last week. I'm not going to go over it again, but. You know, for one position, like one position.
But you know? So Honda next year is Taka Nakagami is developing the 850cc the whole year. Aleix Espargaró is developing the thousands all the way up to halfway through the year and then jumping onto the 850. So they've already got a clear plan.
Honda, well, it's better than Yamaha's plan where they bought the V4 out and go, oh, fuck, hang on, we didn't have any aero testing.
They're
left.
Just throwing shit at the wall, mate.
just at least they've got, yeah, they've obviously got the board of directors, Mr. Honda and the 5 Hondas together and organize it well. So probably in Europe, actually, I should say.
Yeah, it really is. Their chief technical director is European.
Yeah, Mick doing on FaceTime and ordering the... What is it? Danny Pedrosa sitting there telling everyone what to do.
Danny Pedrosa, KDM. But it's like they've obviously got a clear plan on what they want to do. And Honda, like a night and day. You know, Aleix Espargaró said that Honda has improved in every single area. Every single area that's
awesome.
It's improved.
Top speed for me is amazing for them. They were the fastest bike down the straight, I believe, in Sepang. So... incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. So it's, you know, just improving from a 2025 into 2026. They've already got a clear plan for going from thousands to 850s with their test riders. Like, bro, they have to be the one to watch going into the 850cc era. They really do.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's, so when the rules last changed, we're talking 2007, and then Ducati magically made this bike that was fast.
They changed 07 and 09 again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
so anyway. I mean, Ducati was a master of the rule changes, which is interesting. But it seems like Honda, believe it or not, probably has the most momentum going into these new rule changes. But
just about like them or Aprilia, really. It will be interesting to see how. You're right. Like Honda has the most momentum going into these rule changes and the biggest budget. You know, they've got a plethora of test riders and. So much testing that they can do, and a really good test rider in Aleix Espargaró. Like, he's done wonders.
You're right about that, though, because Aprilia realistically is the smallest company in MotoGP by a long stretch.
Yeah.
You know? Long stretch. I mean, they make a dirt bike now, don't they?
Nah.
Not yet. That'll be on the cards.
They do adventure bikes.
Yeah, but I mean, small company compared to, you know, Yamaha, Honda, Ducati. I mean, KTM's probably the second smallest, but. The resource difference between Honda and Aprilia is massively different.
Massive, yeah.
You know? And for Aprilia, how amazing that they've done, like to take it up to Ducati. I just can't believe it. You know, I really can't. It's a story that we'll be telling for a long time to come.
Are they getting their money back doing all this? It's a lot of money they're throwing at it.
Yeah, but James, this is the thing. I bought an Aprilia because Aprilia's in MotoGP. Am I buying a Kawasaki? No. I'm not buying a Kawasaki. You know? Everyone buys S2000s because they're S2000s. S1000, sorry.
That's the new 2.0 version. Gertie's freaking out right now.
S1000, sorry. BMW. But I do it, but you people, it's marketing. It's the back of them, everyone's mind. It really is. It might be the difference between going from that brand to that brand because they're in MotoGP and they're winning.
Curdy, what did you say if Aprilia bought out an 850cc bike?
What was the question again?
Curdy,
surely
if Aprilia bought out an 850cc bike, what would you do?
If, like a sports bike or just any kind of
sports
bike?
Sports bike. Sports or bike. Any kind of bike. What did you say to me last week?
If it was like a Bez or a Jorge Martin themed bike, like with that number on the front, I'd be very tempted to get it.
You said you would buy it.
I would buy it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All good.
But like, I don't know. I just don't see that how they're making money back. It's like, who the fuck's buying that many Aprilia? Oh, you know what? They got a good learner market, I guess, these days. But still,
MasterCard are paying a McLaren $100 million next year to be on their car. 100 mil, you're going to get their money back? It's crazy.
We have spoken about this.
100 mil?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of credit cards.
Bro, their main, Aprilia's main sponsor is Italian milk. It's not fucking MasterCard, it's Sterilgarda. It's a milk.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Comes from Max Biaggi, that sponsorship. So, yeah, look, I don't know, man. All I know is Ducati is going to be on GP24 by the sound of it next year, and that's going to be very, 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 very interesting on how that looks with Marquez and Bagnaia.
Yeah, be good. Be exciting. We'll continue a bit more testing chat and Patreon, I suppose, Jimmy boy.
Yeah, 100%.
We'll jump on to Formula One Vegas.
Do you want to go through top five MotoGP rivals?
I'm so sorry. Okay, I just want to announce James has got a top five
MotoGP rivalries, T-Shavs.
Wow, take it away, Jimmy boy.
All right, so top five MotoGP rivalries. Look, now this is from my perspective, from my era. There is a couple of the... Well, I think there's two that really aren't from my era, but you have to appreciate it. Now, number five, Tom Shelby, like, it is Barry Sheen versus Kenny Roberts. So Barry Sheen was a multiple champion, a British celebrity, I guess you could say, the face of 500 Grand Prix racing back then, and the American Kenny Roberts came in, cocky American, flat tracker, different styles. First, I believe, one of the first riders to really put the knee down and make that popular and kind of change the style of riding. So Barry Sheen versus Kenny Roberts Sr., I know is probably one of the biggest rivalries really out there. Number five for me. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's it was a legendary battle back then. It really, I think, put 500s on the map for a lot of people in a lot of different countries as well.
Well, it probably brought in the American market, and Kenny Roberts Sr. realistically would have started that, you know, the heyday of Rainey and Schwantz and Lawson and all those guys. Like, he was the first American to really take it to the Europeans.
Boy, Dorna would be just crying out for an American rider right now with Liberty Media coming in.
Crying for someone.
Because that does take the sport to the next level, because you've got 300 million people, you know, over there. So,
yep.
We don't really have much Americans coming through, do we?
Nah, like, they're doing a... Not really. Like, I think we get messages from the American listeners, and I think some ex-rider does, like, their version of, like, the OJC, but there's, like, 13 riders in it, and they got 300 and 400 million people in their country, yeah. You know? So, like, there is an issue over there. You know, Colin Edwards does, like, his Texas Tornado boot camp and all that, and dirt bike riding for them. Motocross and supercross is thriving, but racing, man, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, as kids, they've just got so many different options for sports, don't they?
I know, bro. Well, that's it. It's so much different to Europe or even Australia.
Well, Australia, it's footy or cricket, and that's about it. And then, you know, over there, there's so many options, and you don't have to leave your country to be a multi-billionaire, you know?
Well, that's right. Like, Ben Spies was making massive amounts of money until GFC hit. Matt Mladen made tens of millions of dollars, the Aussie, in AMA Superbikes. So, like... Yeah, you're right. Like, money talks as well.
Mm.
Number four is Valentino Rossi versus Max Biaggi.
Oof. Jeez.
Which was like the ultimate Italian grudge match, I guess you could call it. Famous incident.
What Italian, he says at the start. What Italian?
Yeah, I did. I forgot about poor old Max Biaggi. I was about to say poor old Valentino Rossi, imagine. The ultimate Italian grudge match. Now, you're going to know this. The famous elbow incident at Suzuka when Max Biaggi elbowed Rossi going onto the main straight of Suzuka, pushed him out onto the grass in the 500cc's, and they ended up kind of having a bit of a punch up afterwards as well.
Yeah.
And just never like hated.
Really, probably, I'm going to say one of the earliest MotoGP memories for me.
Yeah, the same. Definitely same here.
Was seeing that footage and that rivalry just bloody imploded. And you never know, you never see this with two, you know,
Countrymen.
In an overseas sport, you know, fighting and hating each other. Only the Italians.
A rivalry started very early on when Rossi was in 125s and Max Biaggi was in 500s. There's a really good doco, we've spoken about before on a podcast, Faster. It's based off of 2000, 2001, 2002 GP, 500 seasons. And they go into the rivalry a lot. And, you know, Kevin Swan says, well, it's not really a rivalry because Valentino has won everything, you know, but that rivalry started when Valentino was young. He had the this is how crazy racing was. He had a sex doll of Naomi Campbell. Remember the celebration of the sex doll?
Couldn't do that now.
And he had it on the bike, giving shit to Max Biaggi because he was dating Naomi Campbell at the time, apparently. So like, just crazy. But they hated each other. It was an intense rivalry. But Valentino just obviously he just won everything, you know. And you know, they've had photos and media appearances and I guess and stuff together, shaking hands, but I still don't think they like each other. Like, Max Biaggi hasn't been to Rossi's ranch.
Yeah, nah. That's still, Rossi holds a grudge, I think. That's part of it. And Biaggi being that feisty Italian probably is the same.
It would have been interesting if social media was around then.
Wouldn't have been as good. There's a problem with social media now is they can't punch on or fight or get shitty at each other because they just get both destroyed in the media.
Yeah.
And you never see, you look to bloody Bagnaia and Vinales in the sand trap in Le Mans and they had a little punch up and then they were shaking hands fucking 5 minutes after.
Yeah, not even.
So you just can't do it these days.
No, you can't.
So bad for your image, which is so unfortunate.
Yeah,
it kind of sucks. We're our own worst enemies though. That's the thing. Yeah.
I always like a bit of a biff. Bring back the biff. But yeah, it's just that was a really good one. I loved just two Italians hating each other. And then, you know, there was Rossi fans and there was Biaggi fans. And then Biaggi fans just turned into Rossi fans by the sounds of it. Number three, T-Shabs, Valentino Rossi and Jorge Lorenzo.
Yes, a classic.
Yeah, I guess you could say a very bitter teammate battle. One of the big catalysts, obviously, was Jorge Lorenzo becoming almost the number one rider for Yamaha. They had a wall built in between them.
Is this the biggest teammate battle in the top five list?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was a massive rivalry. It was really the young punk coming through. And also, like, we didn't like Lorenzo because he was taking Rossi's celebrations and he seemed like he was like Lorenzo land. It was all
arrogant.
Like,
it was arrogant
coming through and nothing's changed. But for me, it was like he was just copying him. But then you look back at it now, we've spoken about this so many times. It was like, good on him. That's what he had to do.
Smart.
He had to do that because if you try to be like, he had to just beat him at his own game.
Yeah.
You know?
He had the, like Rossi had the sun and moon. Lorenzo had the angel and the devil. You know, but like, it's not even like he was popular, but Danny Pedrosa was tenfold more popular to the Spanish public than him. But like Lorenzo obviously got under his skin. Like he was the first rider to a degree Casey, because Casey won a title on him, but first rider to really go blow for blow with Valentino Rossi. Yeah.
On same machinery.
And just didn't give a fuck about him. Yeah. Like I said, I don't care what he's done. Like, I am the man now and I'm winning. And you got to remember, he won his titles in 2010 12 and 15. Rossi never won a title after 09.
Well, as I said to you last week when we were talking about this, 2015, Lorenzo comes out and beats Rossi on the same machinery, Marquez, Danny Pedrosa. Who else was there?
Yeah, the main ones.
Sonia was gone by then. But for me, like, that's got to be one of the greatest world championship wins in history of motorsport.
And it's the most forgotten.
He's 100% because all we talk about is his bloody kick.
Yeah.
Alleged kick. Yeah. It's becoming more and more a kick. But guys, end of December, start of January, we will be releasing our Rossi versus Marquez. Now, is this an introduction to the second biggest rivalry in history, James?
No. No, our second biggest rivalry, I still think, is Kevin Swantz versus Wayne Rainey. They're, again, two countrymen that hated each other. You know, Swantz was the showman. It's a, it almost is a little bit like the Lorenzo Rossi battle to a degree, but very American. But Swantz was a showman. Valentino Rossi, you know, looked up to Kevin Swantz, rode like a maniac, was on the edge. He was either crash or win, where Wayne Rainey was very much calculated. And as I think he's a three-time world champion. But like they speak about it, and like they hated each other so much, they would have to win FP1. They couldn't sleep or qualifying. Like that's how much, there was so much bitter rivalry there. But it just really shows how much it pushed each other into racing, because obviously, if people don't know, Wayne Rainey crashed in Misano, broke his back, paralyzed, and Kevin Swantz lost all his motivation after that. Like retired a year or two after, like didn't want to be a part of it. You know, obviously they were getting older, but those two riders, yeah, forever would be one of the most hated rivalries. Like, and they raced each other from flat track in America. You know,
yeah, and what's so good about that story now, it's obviously seems like they are good mates.
Great mates now. Yeah, like they race go-karts and stuff together.
So that's such a it's a sad end to a career, but a great end to the story.
Yeah, yeah. Good way, great way to put it. Number one, Tom Shavulak, is obviously, it has to be, like, you know, maybe people might be mad at this, but it has to be. It's Marquez versus Valentino Rossi. Like, how can it not be? We have been at ground zero. We've reenacted the kick. We're going to be doing a whole podcast on this. MotoGP's released like a 20-minute kind of shitty documentary about the
Valentino. It was not too bad. It was 26 minutes, wasn't
it? It was okay. They literally go, and hear from the man who was there at all, Andrea Dovizioso. They cut to Andrea Dovizioso. They were too far in front. I couldn't see anything. That was his whole thing. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're right.
But that obviously was, you know, Marquez was like the young kid, like another almost Lorenzo, tenfold, wins his first title in his first year. Like, just obliterates everyone, is so fast. And him and Rossi were mates. That's the crazy thing. And then we kind of heard that Marquez brings his own HRC truck to Rossi's ranch, beats his lap record, takes it too seriously. Then accusations start flying at Phillip Islands. After they shake hands, that Valentino Rossi says Marquez has purposely held him up. He's interfering with the world championship with Lorenzo that he's not involved in. Throws accusations out in Sepang. You see Marquez's face. It's like, what the fuck? And then it just all comes. Obviously, it comes to a clash in Sepang, where...
Which we'll dissect.
We will dissect more in our episode. So that's going to be exciting to watch. But that really is a massive rivalry fueled by social media.
Yes.
Like, correct. That's like putting fuel on the fire.
Yep.
Because those two fan bases... And then, like, the Marquez fan base has just gone tenfold since, you know, it's just clashed for the next 6 or 7 years when they were racing. But, geez, yeah, that's the biggest one ever. Like, special mentions, Sete Gibernau Rossi, Casey Stoner Rossi as well, Mick Doohan, Alex Crivier.
That's special mention. That's probably the one they probably just missed out.
Yeah, yeah, for me.
But, yeah, great list, James.
See, Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. Doesn't surprise me. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favorite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run in your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We're going to jump into Formula One in Las Vegas. It was a pretty stagnant race. Wasn't too bad in the scheme of things. But then it just all went crazy 3 hours after the race finished. So we will talk about that. But James, what did you think? Talk to me. You want to do results, actually? You got them up there?
Yeah, I can do results. I like this. Let me do a Tom Shavulak and fuck around for a bit.
You said you had them. Go on.
I've updated me fucking phone and I don't know how it all works now. All right. First, Max Verstappen. This feels so strange, bro. Second, George Russell. Third, Kimi Antonelli. Fourth, Charles Leclerc. Fifth, Carlos Sainz Jr. Sixth, Isaac Hadjar. Seventh, Nico Hülkenberg. Eighth, Sir Lewis Hamilton. Ninth, Esteban Ocon. And 10th, Oliver Bearman.
Well, there you go. I mean, they all moved up a couple of spots because if you were living on a rock today, guys, both McLarens have been disqualified due to plank wear, which was quite a shock. And it did took a long time after the race for it to come out. So it was sort of three hours post-race. So I found out probably late last night. And yeah. Then it sort of it all hit the fan this morning when everyone sort of got up in Australia. But it's a good thing for Piastri because the championship was over pretty much. It's an amazing thing for Max Verstappen because you're going from 50 points with two races left to a 24-point deficit. He's now even on points with Piastri. Let's dissect this for a second. So,
I just want to ask you a question real first. Does, and this is what everyone will want to hear from you right now. Does Max have any chance of winning this championship?
Yes, he does. So, we've got two races left plus a sprint. So, the sprint's going to be in Qatar. My big thing at the moment, and talking to people today, is plank wear for this McLaren. Was it something on the car that they had to take off? That's the report in Brazil. So, there was some device on the car that was banned in Sao Paulo, and then magically a week, two later, they get done for plank wear. This is going to be the big thing going into the next round, which is only this weekend, is do they have to raise this car up to avoid this happening again? And is this going to affect performance? Because if it does, it opens a massive door for Max Verstappen because I would say McLaren will and should dominate Qatar with the high aero track, but it just opens that door a little bit.
What do you think? Because I think that McLaren's still going to, Lando's still going to take out the title.
Well, I think Max is going to have the advantage in Abu Dhabi, but I think, McLaren should have the advantage in Qatar, but anything can happen.
Yeah, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. And for me, it's really exciting. We haven't had a three-way battle for a title for a very long time. I'm going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but probably 2010 with Weber and Vettel and Alonso. Going back even further, obviously 2007 with Raikkonen, and Hamilton and Alonso. So it doesn't happen often. It's really exciting for both these two rounds coming up, double headers. Well, time will tell. Piastri for me is done. The momentum's gone. As an Australian, we can complain about the favoritism and stuff, but is it really there? Is it really not? But at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, he hasn't got it at the moment.
Yeah.
There's just no pace there. There's no X factor. There's no, amazing qualifying lap. Not that he had a chance to do it because he did get bunked in that last thing, but he just didn't have it. And then the race comes in. Obviously, gets punched out by Lawson, which probably deserved a penalty, and I couldn't believe it didn't. But then was 2 to 3 seconds behind Hadjar for 5 to 10 laps. I mean, you got to be on it straight away. You got to pass it. You got to be behind Lando. You got to do a banzai move. You got a 2 kilometer straight, for fuck's sake, You just have to try. You just got to try to do it. And he's just not there. So for me, it's just an open door for Max. And I think as an Aussie and as an F1 fan, diehard F1 fan, would love to see it.
I would love to see Max win the title. It would just make the whole season for me. It just comes from the clouds to do it. Would just be incredible. And I love Max Verstappen because he's the only one in there that has C-U-N-T and actually says it how it is and then backs it up as well.
Yeah, it's... he was 100 points behind Piastri like 8 rounds ago, it would be an amazing comeback. And what I want to say is, how fucking stupid can McLaren be?
Yeah, I agree.
Do they have to run the car that low? No, they do not have to run the car that low. You've got such a massive lead in the championship. If he finishes fourth or fifth, it's still nearly sewed up. You don't have to put the car at that point. Raise the ride height if you're going to have issues with it. I just don't understand it. It's just... For me, if they lose this championship, it's just going to be unforgivable from them. It really is. I mean, they just don't have to do it. And for both cars to be disqualified, obviously they didn't have running in practice, so they couldn't, adjust that ride height properly. But, 18 other cars did, and you got the two fastest cars on that grid, arguably, and you've just botched it up once again.
It's it's going to be a very interesting next couple of rounds with McLaren, but like they shouldn't drop it. Like really, it's Lando's to lose, Tom.
I know, but 24 points. I know. What? Okay, I'll give you a scenario. We're in Qatar next weekend, and you've got Max Verstappen in the lead, Piastri second, and Lando third. Okay. Piastri's Verstappen's already won the sprint race. He's got 5 more points, so he's 19 points behind Lando. You're only going to gain, realistically, Piastri's out of it at this point. Zach Brown has said in the media, and he's said constantly, I would rather lose the championship, okay, than favor one driver. He said that publicly. But you're in that scenario. Are they calling in to Piastri and saying, move over, let Lando through to second?
Yes, I think they would be.
Yeah, you just... Like,
it'd almost be stupid not to.
Proof's in the pudding now. Yeah. If Zach Brown has said this the whole season, this is going to be the time to do it. And for me, at this point, to be honest with you, they'd be dumb not to.
Well, yeah, 100%.
You know, like when do you get an opportunity to win a Drivers' World Championship? They don't come around often. No. And you have to work so, so hard to get them.
Before going into the new regs as well.
Oh, I know. And who knows where it's going to be next year? I mean, there's talk that obviously the Mercedes engine's going to be the cream, but who knows where we're going to be? Someone could just nail the regulations. It could be another Mercedes domination for 4 years. You just don't know.
You don't know. Yeah, that's right. We spoke about this MotoGP. You just don't know.
What did you think of the track? I love it, man.
I love it as well. You know what I find interesting about the track is the grandstands had all lit up like dark purple.
Yeah.
Wild.
I've never really
noticed that.
You can see it from space. It's amazing. It's such a spectacle. I said to you today, it's a Super Bowl of Formula One, you know? Yeah. All the glitz and all the glamour. I think they do it so well. And it's exciting for us. 3 p.m. on a Sunday night or afternoon. It's just a perfect time for us in Australia. And it's just an amazing. And I love the fact that we've been there before. And I go, oh, they turn the end of the straight. That's Planet Hollywood. You know, you were there. Everyone has a tie to it. If they've been to the States or Vegas, you've been there and you can sort of relate to it, I think. Yeah. I think it's a cool event. And I really... really think they've done an amazing job with that, obviously funding it pretty much all themselves and taking that risk. And I think it's paid dividends.
No, I think I agree. It's very just 2025 Formula One now, Las Vegas. But it's actually a great track. Yeah. And that's the main thing for me anyway.
Wet qualifying session. I've never seen...
Great footage.
Well, I've 2 years. In the last 2 years, I've seen wet running, like wet tire running like once. Mm. They just never run that wet tire. And obviously, it was so slippery and so wet. I just couldn't understand this. Where they launched this race, like, was it 5-6 years ago? I'm like, oh, God, the drivers aren't going to survive the heat, you know? And they're fucking heating up. They've got heaters in the bloody garages and everyone's wearing jackets. It's cold in Vegas. I mean, I just didn't think about that. And it raining in Vegas, for God's sake. Raining in Vegas.
A desert. It's a fucking desert.
Raining in Vegas and raining all week, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, it was very surprising. Threw up a massive battle, and we watched it. We all sat down and watched it at work because it was super exciting. But yeah, it was weird to see. That's for sure.
Did you see the price of meat pies over there?
$22 or something. Yeah, I know.
$37 Australian.
Oh yeah, $22 USD. Yeah.
$37 Aussie is criminal.
We just can't go there. Like, and I was talking to some mates. I said, oh, "Fuck, it'd be so good to go to Vegas," but. The price of stuff there is the same as here, but we get 60 cents to the dollar.
Yeah.
So everything is pretty much, you know, 40% more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's an expensive place to go for us at the moment. And yeah, you're right. Even $22, Aussie's expensive for a meat pie.
Meat pie should be $5.
And then you got to pay, you got to tip them, you got to get taxed.
Yeah, then some guy's trying to sell you his rap CD on the way out. Like, it's a fucking shit show. It's a fucking shit show over there. $5 for a fucking meat pie and that's it.
Yeah, I know.
Don't try and sell me anything. I'm not tipping you for handing me something.
What they're doing now, and I've seen the last few races, it's a cashless society, I suppose, when you go into the paddock. You pay for things via car, but you can get then dollars at the front of the track and then you can use... Because it's their own money currency.
Bro, I was about to say, I bet you they're going to go into their own F1 currency for events like Disneyland.
Yeah,
they've got Disney dollars.
Yes.
The double D's, what Curdy was talking about with that chick.
No, they were C's too.
Oh, they're C's.
Possibly D's.
Okay. It's going to have their own crazy fucking dumb crypto F1 money that's going to cost you $80 to the cents or fucking whatever you were talking about. And meat pies actually go up to $130 a meat pie now. We're going the other way.
I know. It's the way of the world, unfortunately, because at the end of the day, we keep paying for it. We keep going.
Well, yeah, the popularity
keeps selling
there.
Out. There's nothing better for Formula One. What happened last night with them getting, with both the McLarens getting disqualified because they've just got this three-way championship battle going into the, you know, Middle Eastern races.
We've got a lot of messages saying it's all just derived by the head honchos of Formula One. Obviously, it's conspiracy, I know, but it's just very interesting.
People are getting too much airtime on this podcast, I reckon, James. We're giving them too much.
You gotta give the sensible people when you give the crazies.
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
discriminate.
Yeah, it's bloody hell. But other than that, a pretty...
Thoughts on Hamilton?
Yeah, I mean, 20th. Got lucky at the start, passed eight people. Did he really pass eight people? Not really. He went up the inside and when they all started crashing. It was like a Formula One game, wasn't it, when you got lucky? And then I thought personally Albon was harshly penalised because he got his front wing knocked off and I could clearly see Hamilton sort of dip to the inside there and sort of chopped his nose off. But 50-50 racing incident, but they're consistent. They gave the other person the penalty. But yeah, just super disappointing for me. A minute behind Verstappen. He got to 12th and then finished 10th and then went up two places to 8th. So was it really that good of a race? Probably not.
From 20th.
You've got to remember, second corner he was 12th and he finished his 10th. Mm. So, and he finished 8th because both the McLarens got penalised. So yes, he moved forward, but all his move forward was the accidents at the start. So, but it's still experience. It's still skill to get through that pack when obviously they started spinning out and going everywhere. So.
Yeah. And what about Ferrari for you? Where are they at?
Yeah, I mean, Leclerc was...
He had a half a right race.
No, he did.
He had pace at stages. He had
you
pace.
Can't, I mean, that's disappointing. You got a two-kilometer back straight and he couldn't get past Antonelli with very, very, very old tyres. So, is that... That's current day F1, I suppose, as well. So, but there was a few passes out there. So, I don't know. Ferrari, for me, it's just a lost cause. They're just limping to the line, waiting for next year.
Fair. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Mm. Thank you, James.
T-Shav, hot takes, my friends.
Yep.
Plenty have come through. Obviously, as always, we do our hot takes for our Patreon as well. So if you are a Patreon member on our Patreon episodes, you automatically get read out as well. So at Joe Thomas 1998, will Pecco hold the ride if he flops next season, Tom Chavula?
No.
No way? I didn't think so. At Nikki D 3604, if Tech 3 leave KTM, which manufacturer will they move to? I think CF Moto is going to be taken over anyway. It's going to be a CF Moto Tech 3 motorcycle.
Yeah, and personally, I would like to see that. I think that would be a good thing for the sport.
You know, when you're talking about before the pod, you're like, bro, Chinese cars are taking over. Chinese motorcycles, like CF Moto, are fucking everywhere. Are they not everywhere, Curdy?
No, I had to swap the things.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Don't worry. No one will be able to hear you. Just give us a nod. Yeah. They are absolutely everywhere. I'm seeing them everywhere.
It's and I talked to Curtis and you about this a lot. We should have a cool wall here. Like a Top Gear cool wall, because Chinese motorcycle, we're so at the other end, not cool, and they've just moved up in the last, I'm going to say, 6 months to not cool, but just slightly moved up.
They're lukewarm.
they're not fire and brimstone down this end. They're, just because it gets cooler as you go along.
Oh, yeah, sorry. They're lukewarm.
Yeah. So,
they're not sub-zero.
No, they're not sub-zero.
Talking about heat, Frost at frosty.heat, why can't Aaron Kennett move up to MotoGP? I can tell you that, because he is just not fast enough.
So Aaron Kennett, I actually made a mistake last week and I said he was going to World Superbikes, but no, he's actually going to Mark BDS, I think, next year, from memory.
Yeah, he is.
So, yeah, he's just... Oh, dude, the bridesmaid 2 years ago and then sort of fell short this year. Let's see what he can do. I mean, he's got talent, but again, third, fourth, we talk about this all the time. The guy, yes, he's got talent, but is he really going to make anything of himself in MotoGP? Probably not. That's a harsh reality.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's only a certain amount of spots, and the spots are going to open up in 2027.
David Alonso weighs fucking 45 kilos, came into the first year of Moto2 and has won a race. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, 100%. So, and like multiple podiums. Dude's a freak. At Sparks underscore Leon, will Toprak be better than Ben Spies, also a World Superbike champion? Ben Spies had a good run of it, and he did win a MotoGP race. I can't be... Like, I always get tripped up on that, but he did win a MotoGP race.
Was it in San Marino?
Bro, I think it's Valencia for some reason.
I thought it was Misano, and he started on the wets and then stayed on the wets.
Hey, Cody, are you able to chat GPT or whatever you got to do? Where did Ben Spies win his MotoGP race? And while he does that, I think Toprak... I think Toprak's going to have...
Ben Spies won Aston 2011.
Oh, there we go. Beautiful. Spa-Francorchamps 2006.
Yeah,
he's still looking it up.
Go to the next one. I'll do the next one.
Toprak for me is going to be better than Ben Spies.
Yeah, me too. Spies won a race.
I know. Well, so Toprak's going to win two races. And I'm saying he's not going to do that.
Actually,
Ben Spies may be better.
Yeah, contradiction.
But the Yamaha was a different bike. When Ben Spies went on to the factory Yamaha.
Yeah, I know, but different world back then, dude. Like
it was a different world. Yeah,
it's just not this MotoGP now is like, I don't know, it's becoming more and more like Formula One, where you're not going to have a Troy Bayliss just debuting in Valencia and winning a race. It's not going to happen anymore. It will never happen
again. Wild card, yeah.
It's never going to happen. So, for that, that would have been amazing to happen back then in 06.
It was.
But it's never going to happen again. These bikes are just so prototype now.
Cody, yep. Aston 2011? Yeah, perfect.
He got it.
He's
got
all
it.
Over it.
Thanks, Curtis.
He's got the double Cs, double Ds on his mind.
He does.
At Santa Roquel. As much as I'm rooting for Max, I think that his Spanish GP shenanigans will cost him the title.
Well, 9 points. We spoke about that today. So 9 points he lost in that race when he sort of maybe crashed purposely into George Russell, maybe not. 9 points might be the difference, James, because if he wins both those... Say he wins all races and Lando finishes second, it's going to be around that sort of...
Yeah.
You know, 9 points scenario. So, yes, it may, but I mean, how many different things have happened that's happened to Lando this year as well? Mm. So, you know, if my grandmother had a wheel, should be a bike sort of situation.
Caleb underscore Bedville. Will Gonzalez ever make MotoGP? Has he made the worst decision of his career? No, he's still got a shot next year. He's got a shot if he has a very good season.
But what decision did he make?
He got offered Pramac. Turn it down.
Yeah, okay. I don't know about that. I don't know how concrete that deal was.
I'm pretty sure it was very concrete. So it's pretty confirmed that he turned it down.
So instead of Jack Miller?
Instead of Toprak.
Oh. Oh, jeez.
Much before Toprak was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe. It's a hard one. I don't know how... Obviously, I don't know if it's 100% true, but that's what I've heard consistently.
Because to be honest with you, if that's correct, I would have taken that deal. Mm. I mean, why wouldn't you?
He's going to be on a shit bike.
Yeah, I know, but...
You'd want a two-year deal.
I'm telling you, he's kicking his ass now. Mm. Like, of course you're going to take that deal, to be honest with you.
Again, at Caleb Bedville, are McLaren the worst constructors champions ever, Tom Shavulak?
No, not the worst. Guys, you've got to remember that this team was down in the doldrums. You know, we're talking, I'm saying 2016, this is going back. We'll go back 9 years ago. They got Fernando Alonso, they've paid him a world record amount of money, and the car was slower than a GP2 F2 back then. They've gone through these phases of obviously Mercedes smashing it, Red Bull having the most dominant two seasons that we've ever seen in Formula One, and they've gone and built a car that is faster than a Red Bull when they were dominating. So, no, it hasn't taken a massive rule change for them to get, but they've just done it slowly but surely and finally got the fastest car. So no, they well deserved, 100%. They've just fluffed, absolutely fluffed this year. Fucking massive amount of fluff, which we've spoken about before. And it's obviously, like, Lando will probably win the World Drivers' Championship and everyone will go, oh, move on. No one cares anymore. Because it's just, I don't know. And everyone's feeling the same thing. No one cares.
They're like the woke team.
Yeah, it's...
They're the LGBTQ plus team. You know what's interesting going on from that? It's like when Max was winning, everyone was like, ugh. As soon as Max has a sniff, everyone's Verstappen fans. He's like, they've all just come out of the woodwork.
Tells it how it is.
At IM Thrice. Which side are you on? Marquez side or Rossi side? You have to pick only one. Now, you're going to have to wait for our Marquez versus Rossi episode. We'll put our sides in.
Save that one for the app coming up.
At randy.shb, who will be the next big star in MotoGP in 5 to 10 years? Is it Pedro, Furman, Alonso, Diego, Holgado?
Holgado's a great one to put in there. Look, let's be honest. I think it's going to be David Alonso. 5 years. If we're talking 2-3 years.
5 to 10.
Yeah, 5 to 10 is a long time. That's a long time.
Pedro Acosta for me.
I mean, 5 to 10 years, you say?
His second year, bro. It's his second year.
Yeah, I know, but...
People forget it's only his second year. Third year going into.
Yeah, well, this David Alonso kid for me, if he just stays fit and stays on the bike, he is the next thing, next big thing.
Last one, at Jack.Watson, Tom Chevy, like a bit of a crystal ball. Quartararo to Aprilia, Pecco to Honda by 27. Pecco to Honda, I haven't heard that one.
Nah.
With his mate Luca Marini?
Nah.
VR46 Riders Academy, Repsol Honda, back?
Nah. Oh, we'll see him on a VR46 bike, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
It is unfortunate. It really is. But is Libyan Media taking these... from all reports, Libyan Media are turning these teams into sort of independent teams,
that's what reports are.
That's what reports are. So,
what does that mean, though, Tom? I don't know what that means.
So, McLaren, for instance, run a Mercedes engine, but then McLaren. And no one really talks about that they have a Mercedes engine and they're a McLaren. Now, obviously, the bike is pretty much just the same bike as what a Ducati has. But they're going to see them as more individual teams, not teams that are working together.
But what does that mean? So, like, does that mean Ducati...
So, David Tardozzi's not going to be like, yes, VR46 won.
He's not like that either, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
He works for Factory Lenovo Ducati.
Oh, okay. Wrong.
Gigi Dalinga is, like, silently happy because Ducati has won, but he's just an engineer.
Yeah, I know. But there's, like, they're still happy that there's, like, the triple podium for Ducati. It won't be like that.
Because Davide Tardozzi wasn't going for Jorge Martin.
No. Well, that was evident when Bastianini passed him last corner. That's right. Changed his position.
Yeah.
But it'll be like, there's not, oh, it's a triple Ducati podium. It's not going to be like that. It'll be a double podium for Ducati and then a VR46 bikes on the end.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Which I like. It's cool.
Yeah, so it's still gonna be still factory Ducati,
yeah.
But it's like VR46 is like VR46, not VR46 Ducati.
Correct.
Even though it's on a Ducati.
Yeah.
Dumbest shit I've ever heard.
There's going to be a lot of kickback from real fans from that. The same thing with the championships, with the 8-time world championship, 7-time world championship. It's just going more towards F1.
Yeah, don't like it. Don't like it at all. Don't like change, mate. Don't like change.
You don't, yeah. You're old-fashioned, mate.
Yeah. Well, don't mind an old-fashioned.
We were talking about that at work the other day. Good's an old-fashioned. Far out. It's like, you don't see it much these days.
Nah, you don't. I don't receive an old-fashioned.
No, in the car, the cinemas, nothing. Anyway, move on.
I'll see you guys next week.
Is that it?
Oh, no, we got Patreon. We keep talking about old-fashions.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, bye.